Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, a well-known portion of Scripture, and I know I've even preached on it here before, and I hope we'll look at it in a different perspective. Appreciate that song. I'm glad the Lord cares for all of us. Amen. And by the way, I believe this. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, and if the world was only just you, He would have still sent His Son to die. And that's actually what we'll look at today, Luke chapter 15. We'll talk about the goodness of grace, the goodness of grace. And I want to tell you, I thank God for grace. And I hope if you are not thankful right now, by the end of the message, you will be. Because there's a lot of aspects of grace I think we need to look at. And we all could sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. We're going to sing as an invitation song here in a minute, Grace, Grace, God's Grace. And I tell you, I thank the Lord for grace. And I hope as we look in this chapter, chapter 15, as many have called it, God's lost and found chapter. Of course, we understand there was a sheep that was lost, one out of 100. And guess what? God cared about that one. We see that there was a lost coin in verses 8 through verses 10. And then we pick up chapter verse 11 in chapter 15. Verse 11, the Bible says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. This story changes. This parable changes because God has used he's used a sheep, he's used a coin, but now he's using a son. Something that is very personal, something that we all can relate to, and something that we see happen all over the world today is the prodigal son. But verse 12 says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. With riotous living. Matter of fact, while we're there, turn over to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 7. I want to show you where else that word riotous is found in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 7, I believe it is. Proverbs 28:7. Matter of fact, it's kind of weird that it talks about, well, it's not weird because it's God's Word, but verse 7 talks about a son. Notice what it says, verse 7, chapter 28 of Proverbs says, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is of companion of riotous men shameth his father. Shameth his father. So as we see this word riotous, he goes out and he lives the way he wants to. I know there's nobody that lives that way today. In America, is there? Maybe a few. Maybe me and you have been there before. Wasted our substance with riotous living. Notice verse 14, it says, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. By the way, we know that this father, that the home that he left was a very wealthy home. We're not talking about a father like me and you. You know, our kid's inheritance is, here's the lawnmower. You know, hope it runs another year for you, son. But we know because he gave him the best robe, the fatted calf, he gave him a ring, which a signet ring was only that of a prominent house or a rich home. And we understand that all the servants that he had, he would have been a very rich man. He would have been a very wealthy man. And as we look at this father, he gave to his son that his inheritance. It would have been very significant. So as we look at him going and spending all this, don't think he had $5 and went to, the dollar store and spent it all. Because he didn't. He would have had a lot of money. He would have spent it all. He would ride this living. We understand some other things through verse 30, what he spent it on. Verse 16, or verse 15, he says, well, let me read verse 14 again. It says, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Here it is. Look at verse 17. I skipped another verse. Verse 15. I'm trying to get through it. And he went, and he joined himself to the citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Here's a Jewish boy going to feed pigs. He might as well have went catfishing. Because that didn't go too well with the Jewish customs. Matter of fact, to even touch a pork, or touch a pig, or as we say it in the South, a hog, it would have disgraced them. It would have made them dirty. They would have had to go through a cleansing process. They would have had to go through a sacrificing process and all these things. But notice where he is. He's where he shouldn't be. By the way, sin will take you where you shouldn't be. And when you walk away from the Father's house, when you walk away from the goodness of the Father and walk away from His grace, you join yourself to this world, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to go places you never thought you'd go. You're going to say things you thought you'd never say. And by the way, there is always a way back home. And this, of course, he finds it, verse 16, and would have fainted and have filled his belly with the husk of that swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. You ever been to a hog pen? It smells. My grandfather raised hogs, and it wasn't, you didn't go down there and go, "Woo, that smells good." It didn't smell like bacon yet. It didn't smell like pork chops yet. It smelled like bad, bad stuff. Some of y'all got that smell in your nostrils all of a sudden, right? Some of y'all only know the smell whenever they're cooking. You ought to go smell it before and change your diet. By the way, they're not clean animals either. Just like I love catfish, another Jewish commodity. But you know what? One of the dirtiest fish you can eat is a catfish. But man, it sure are good. You put enough grease on them, they're good. Verse 17. And when he had come, my reference to food is out. I'll sing a song here in a little bit. And we'll check that one off. Verse 17. And when he had come to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger." Sounds a little bit like the children of Israel, doesn't it? But listen to me. Here's what he said. He said, "Wait a minute. All the servants of my father have bread enough to eat, and here I am. I got my inheritance, and I spent it wrongly. I lived it a riotous life. I lived a wrong life, and here I am. I'm without nothing. I have nothing." What do you do? He said in verse 18, "I will arise." By the way, notice that word arise. Why is he arising? Because he's as low as he can go. He said, "I would arise and go to my father's father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned." Now notice this, he gets it right. He said, "I've sinned against heaven and against thee." By the way, when you sin against your parents, you sin against God first. And the repentance should be in that order. You repent to the Father and you repent to your parents. Notice what's happened in verse 19. He says, "And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and said, "Son," and the son said unto the father, "I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said unto his servants, "Clear off the old shack out back." No, that ain't what it said. Notice what it says. "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf." That's the one they've been fattening that thing up for a special event. Now notice what happens. It says, and he was, verse 23, it says, "And kill it and let us eat and be merry." Verse 24, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." Boy, what a great story. This is a story of grace. This is a story of a picture of grace, of the goodness of grace from a father. By the way, can I remind you that we live under grace? We live under, thank God we don't live under the law anymore. But I want you to turn over, if you will, in the book of Deuteronomy. Keep your finger there in chapter 15 of Luke. But turn to Deuteronomy, if you will. I want you to notice something that's in the scriptures that is under the law. Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 18. In Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 18, we see a law. We see a law that was placed in the times of the Jewish people. And we understand it's a civil law underneath. We see in verse 18, just read it. It says, "If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son," how many of us will say he probably fits that category? How many of us would go on to say most of us would fit this category? When I read that, I just go ahead and put my name there. If my mom was here today, she would say, "Yep, check, check," right? So to a fault, all of us are that way. This son, this prodigal son, was rebellious and he was stubborn. Now notice this. He says, "Which will not obey the voice of," notice this, "his father, or the voice of his mother, and that they will have chastened him will not hearken to him. He says, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of this place. Now notice verse 20. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this is our son. He is stubborn and rebellious and will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And we understand that through the scripture. He fit these categories. But notice verse 21. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel hear and fear. Boy, that's sad. Can I tell you, I'm glad we're not underneath the law. A bunch of us would have a bunch of rocks being thrown at us if we were. Amen? This son, as he thought about going home, he was thinking about grace. Thank the Lord, he wasn't thinking about the law, because if underneath the law, he probably wouldn't have went back home. But I want to tell you that we could come back to the Father. We could come back to the Father. Why? Because of grace. We're not under the law. All of us deserve death. For the wages of sin is death. Man that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin, James tells us. And so for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners in a capacity. We are all born sinners. How do we get out from underneath that sin? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. That it's by grace. Grace is the roadway to God that He allowed to be open because of Jesus Christ. We see that grace is God's expression of love to us. Isn't that amazing? We'll look at that here in a moment. But I want us to notice some things that we see here in this picture of grace from the Father. Sometimes we focus too much on the Son in this story. But you know what? Really, the story is about the Father. Amen. Because He really depicted how this story went. The Son didn't. The Son had already went away. He wanted to come back, and the Father could have reacted many different ways. The Father could have said no. The Father could have said, hey, listen, you can come back, but you're going to be one of my servants. But no, He said, you come back, you're still my son. Now notice what happens. I'll give you three things this morning. Number one, we see that grace. What is grace? What is the goodness of grace? Well, it's the expression of love to you. It is the expression of love to you. This Father expresses His love for His Son. Well, I'll tell you what, I wish I could stand up here today and say, every moment of my life I please my parents. I wish I could. I love my parents very much. Matter of fact, I was such a troubled kid that the Lord thought I needed some step-parents. Double this thing up. Watch over me. I got about 5 step-moms somewhere, but they were like, no, I'm done with this. But you know what? God has seen fit to give me great parents. I love my parents very much. I love my stepdad very much. I'm a very blessed man. And can I say to you that whenever there was a time in my life whenever I thought I wanted to go live with somebody else. And you know what? I would lay in the bed. I'd live with these other people for a little while, or this other person for a little while, and with my parents being separated. And I thought Mama was being too mean to me because Mama had rules. This other person didn't. I was like, man, that's the route I want to go. I want to be able to come in when I want to. I want to be able to go when I want to. So I thought. But I want to tell you what, there was a lot of sleepless nights living in this new home with one person I knew and these other ones that I didn't know. And I was laying there in my bed and that they had made for me, and I was living in this new home. But I want to tell you what, there was something in my heart, the yearning in my heart, because my mom loved me so much, and the yearning from her expression of love to me. I'll tell you what, that started calling me home. And it should you too. The love of people will draw you. Sometimes you may not understand the love at that moment, but I want to tell you, when somebody loves you, they're looking out for your best interests. And in our story here, the Father, He allowed the Son to go. I'm telling you, I believe this. I believe the Father probably gave the Son the talk. He said, now Son, you can have your inheritance. Son, you can go live where you want to, but I'll tell you, there's some dangers there. I'm sure the Father did. I don't know. It's not in the Scripture, but I'm saying is that as any father, we wouldn't just let our kid go. We would explain to them the dangers, and I'm sure He knew the dangers that He was going to face out there in the world. But I want to tell you that the Father, His expression of love to His Son, His mercy and His grace to His Son in receiving Him, drew the Son back home. You know where people end up? Where they're loved. Where they're loved. There's so many times in life you'll see people, kids want to move out of the parents' homes. I love that, don't you? I want freedom, but I don't want a job. And I don't have to pay that insurance, the car payment, and I don't have to wash my clothes. Don't that make a lot of sense? I love that. That was like me. I'm moving out. Yeah. Wait a minute. I didn't know you had to pay taxes. Oh, my soul, I didn't know you had to pay insurance on those vehicles. Oh, my soul, my car's broke down. How do I get it fixed? Wanted my freedom, didn't I? Moved out. Boy, I was on my own. Thought, I got this. Realized when you buy a house, you have to pay escrow stuff. I didn't know what it was. I thought it's escargo. I thought I was buying some snails. I didn't know what I was buying. I'm telling you what, you get out there and you think you want to be on your own, but you know what kept drawing me? It was the love of the people that loved me. It was the love, the expression of their love that drew me back, and the expression of this father's love. The child knew, the son knew, the prodigal son knew that his father still loved him and that he cared for him, and it drew him back home after he had gone through all this and all the famine in his life that he had faced. He knew that he could go back home. Why? Because he knew his father loved him. We see also grace not only as an expression of love to you, but we also see that it's in expecting you to return. Look at verse 20. I love verse 20. Verse 20 of the prodigal son story is probably my favorite because it says he arose and came to his father. But notice this. It says, but when he was yet a great way off. When he was yet a great way off. Notice what happens. His father saw him and had compassion, and ran, and kissed him. Can you imagine this son? We've heard this story so many times. I hope that it's not just, you're just hearing wah, wah, wah in your ears. This story's been preached a lot, but I'm telling you, we need to get the picture of the father here. We know what the son done, but we need to know what the father did. Here comes this son. He's beaten down, barefooted. I mean, he has nothing to his name. He's walking home. He couldn't take a cab. He didn't take a horse. He's dragging himself home. And I believe this with all my heart. I believe every day that father went out there, he was looking at the roadway waiting on the son to come home. And every day he'd go back into the house, cry and weep and pray for his son. And that one day, very early or whenever it was in the day, he peeped out toward the field. He was looking. He saw his son. He saw him coming. And guess what he did? He didn't wait on him. He had compassion on him, number one. By the way, that's the way the Father in heaven will do you if you'll just come back to Him. He's expecting you to come home. Why? Because grace is expecting. That is grace. He's wanting you to come home. He's expecting you to come home. God in heaven is waiting with His arms open and He's going to have compassion on you. But notice what happens is that the Father ran. Well, there's my son. That ain't what happened in this story. What happened in this story is that the father began to run. I don't know about you, but I believe he began to run a little faster the closer he got. And he fell on his son right there on his neck and he kissed him. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. By the way, I'm not reading into the story, but common sense tells us he didn't smell too good. But the father had compassion. And the father went to him, and the father kissed him. What does that have to do with us today? You may get out in the world and get away from church, and we're going to talk about that here in a little bit, because some people think, well, being backslidden is me not coming to church, me not reading my Bible, me living a righteous life. But I'm telling you, that is not what the backsliding is. You can backslide sitting on the front pew, second pew, third pew, last pew. You can backslide preaching a message. What is backsliding means? Means God's here and you're anywhere away from Him. How far away from God do you have to be wrong? Just one little inch. And any of us can backslide. But I want to tell you, when you come back to the Father, sometimes you may not smell the way you went out. He'd been out there with the hogs, been out there in the hog pen and it smelt like them and he had lived that righteous living. He had spent all he had. In other words, he didn't take a bath. Here he comes home. And he's just expecting to be a servant in his father's house. And his father's expecting him. Boy, aren't you glad the Father in heaven's expecting you to come back? Can you imagine how the Father feels today when you don't come back? Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're lost. You're not even in the family yet. You don't even know Jesus Christ your Savior yet. You're not even part of God's family. Can you imagine? I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of a family where somebody loves me unconditionally. I want to know that God's grace is sufficient for me. Even whenever I do wrong, God's grace is sufficient for me. And that God's love for me is unchangeable. Isn't that amazing? God welcomes us back in. You know, there's been times my kids come in from playing. There's not a warm embrace waiting on them. Brody's probably the worst. Dad, oh, son, whoa. Phew. I'm going to get a shower, and I'm going to bed, so I'm going to go ahead and hug you and tell you goodnight. We can do this at a distance, son. Amen. You know what I'm saying, parents. Whew. I mean, bad. You know, kids play out in the yard. They stink, smell like the dogs. I'm not necessarily wanting a hug. They can wait. Come after you get the shower. I'll give you a hug and a kiss. Good night. Right? But notice what the father did. Because the son was lost, but now he's found. He thought he was dead, but now he's alive. He says, I don't care how he smells. I'm going to welcome him back. Now the father welcomed you back. Amen? And by the way, he'll do the cleaning up. Amen? He'll clean you the way he wants you to be clean. Sometimes people think, well, in order for me to get my life right, I got to get everything in order. I got to quit doing this, quit doing this, quit doing this. You'll never get back to where you were. Because you can't quit on your own. And you can try every remedy in the world, but I'm telling you, the only remedy for sin is to come back to the Father, let Him embrace you, and let Him clean you up. With the washing of the water of the Word, and He'll clean you from the inside out. By the way, you know who this parable is pointed to? It's pointed to the Pharisees. You know what their problem was? They wanted this to be right before this was right. And this is pointed. Matter of fact, the picture of the second brother, the older brother, is a picture of the Pharisee. Because the younger one comes home, he goes, well, I've been here the whole time. That's the way the Pharisees were. I'm better than you, but the father says, no, wait a minute, you don't understand. Yeah, maybe he spent all he had. Maybe he was out in the worst place in the world and he spent all his inheritance, but he came back. You know what God wants you to do today? Come back. I don't know where you're at. I don't know how far you are away from God. The further you get, sometimes the lower His voice gets in your life. Sometimes the more calloused you get, the more cold you get in life. Hey, listen. Sometimes it happens to all of us. You say, well, sometimes I'm just over here. I play over here. Then I come back. No. To be friends with the world is to be at enmity with God. If any man loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. You better be careful. When you fall away from God, but listen to me. Here's the thing. You should never leave God. But if you do, He will welcome you back because His grace is expecting you back. Let me give you the last thing this morning. Not only is He expecting you back, but I like this next one. I kind of hit on it there, but it's grace is accepting you back. Grace is accepting you back. Not only expecting you back, but it's accepting you back. By the way, what would it be if we just came home and He said, well, I'm glad you to be here, but you know what? You can't stay here. But I'm telling you what, my God in heaven, whenever I came back, there was a time in my life, I know y'all won't believe this, I am non-perfect today and tomorrow and yesterday. There was a time in my life I got saved and I went away from God. And I want to tell you what, coming back was the scariest thing I thought I'd ever do. Because I thought, man, people are going to judge me. You know, not that I wandered out there and went crazy. It's just, I just wandered away from God. And by the way, when you wander away from God, you ain't got to commit some heinous sin to be the worst one of the bunch. Sometimes it's just the callousness. That's what I was. I got calloused and cold toward the things of God and the Word of God and the preaching of God. And I'll tell you what, God had to bring me back. And God brought me back, and He brought me back into the church. And listen, I'm glad there were some people there that was expecting me back. But I'm glad that there were some people in that church that accepted me back. I'll tell you what, I remember the day whenever I got my heart right and I surrendered to the Lord. I'll tell you what, there were people down at the altar with me. There were people down front. I mean, it was like I'd scored a touchdown. And Lord knows I never scored a touchdown in my life. I was the guy who made it possible for all the skinny people to make touchdowns. I was the big guy in front of you, or laying down in front of you usually. But I'll tell you what, people not only were expecting me back, it was amazing because, you know what, I had people say, "We knew you'd come back." They were expecting me to come back. Why? Because of grace. But not only that, they accepted me back. Boy, isn't that good? I've wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. The paths of sin, too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. How can I come home after all I've done? Maybe you're here today and maybe the prodigal son was thinking, I'm not sure if I can go home, he said, but I'm going to go home and I'm just going to be as one of his hired servants. I'm just going to be as one of those that serve my father, and if he'll accept me at that, that'll be better than where I am today. But I'll tell you what, he wasn't expecting daddy to be out there looking for him. If there would have been binoculars in that day, I'm sure dad would have been out there looking out in the end of that field. Father peering out there, and I'm sure he's probably asking his servants, has anybody seen him? Man. Sir, why are you looking for your father? Because I know he's going to come back. Here he comes. Woo-hoo. Here we go. Daddy's running. Catches him. Holds him. Kisses him. He accepts him. How do we know accepts him? Well, we see in verses 21 through 24 how he accepted him. He accepted him by taking the fatted calf and by taking the best robe and by taking this best ring and giving it to him and putting it on him and putting shoes on his feet and creating a party environment, not like we think of today. We would call it a fellowship. We don't have parties as Baptists. They're fellowships. And we eat. They ate. Here was the whole family. Here was all the household in here. He presents his son. Here he is. I told y'all he'd come back. He accepted him. You know what? God, I accept you today. You say, "Whoa, wait a minute, preacher. You don't know me." Don't have to know you. All I have to do is know the Father. And the Father that I know, the Heavenly Father that I know, will accept you back. Now, I understand that there's some things that need to happen. I understand that you can't come back to Him in pride and boastful. You come back to Him humble as the prodigal son did. You come back with that humility. And I promise you, God will accept you back. If you're His child, He's looking for you. He's expecting you to come home. Some of you, you're not part of a home church anywhere. You need to get right with God and get part of a home church. And I can't think of a better home church than Heritage Baptist Church. Some of you, you're just like, "Well, we're just looking for a church." 6 years is a long time to be looking for a church. You know what you're doing? You're just running. Yeah. I know there's visitors here, and we ought to be nice to visitors, but I'm trying to be truthful with visitors. Quit running and just turn to God and say, "And if this is not the church for you, you need to find your home church and get planted in a church, and God will accept you back." But here's the hard part is that some of you have been coming to church every service. You're here every Sunday. You're here for Sunday school, but you're really not here. You know what I'm talking about. This is just where you think you have to come. You know what? As a child, sometimes I didn't get a choice to go to church. Remember, there's a funny one. You know, I was drugged as a child to church from church. Amen. That was the drug my parents used. My mom drugged me to church. Well, you know what? Nobody has to drag me to church anymore because I see the value of this church. I see the value of being where I need to be in my Father's arms. By the way, God doesn't have to accept you back, but He will according to His Word. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. By the way, there's a lot of people that shouldn't be here today if we lived underneath the law. By the way, there'd be nobody up here preaching today. Amen. We are all sinners, right? But I'll tell you what, because of the goodness of grace, God is expecting us back. And He'll accept us back. The prodigal son, he came home and thought, "Boy, I'd just be one of the hired servants. That'd be the best my father would give me. I know I've sinned. I know I've sinned against heaven and against my father." He said, "I'm going to go back and ask my father to forgive me. And if he sees fit to let me stay, maybe he'll just let me stay as one of the hired servants." That's what the story is. But he didn't understand that his father was going to give him the best. I like it when somebody gives me the best. I don't like leftovers. I don't eat leftovers, mainly. I like first overs. Amen. I like that banana pudding that nobody has ate out of yet. The best. That's the best. You know what leftovers are? You know what the worst is? I was just about to eat all this. You want some? That's not the best. The best is first fruits, right? When we come to God and say, you know what? I'm going to give my best. But you know what the Father says? I'm going to give Him the best. He doesn't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to Him because He's my Son. I'm glad I have a Heavenly Father that cares for me. And I'm very thankful for the goodness of His grace to me. Let's stand heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. Thank You for Your grace. Lord, thank You that, Lord, You draw us home through the expression of Your love. Lord, knowing no matter how far we wander and stray away from You, God, Your love constrains us. And Lord, it pulls us home. And Father, as we come home, Lord, we see how You've been expecting us. And Lord, there's somebody here today. I know that You're expecting to come home. Lord, maybe You're expecting somebody to get saved today. Lord, I know You are. God, You said that You sent Your Son to die for the sins of the world. Lord, You're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so, God, I know Your will and Your desires for people to get saved. And Lord, if there's one here this morning that does not know the greatest Father of all fathers, they don't know You, Lord. I pray, God, today they would be drawn to this old-fashioned altar and let somebody through the Word of God show them how to be saved today. And Lord, show them a family that's like none other. Lord, that You care for just one. And Father, I thank You for that. Thank You for that expression of Your love. And Lord, for expecting us back. God, when we do stray, Lord, You expect us back and Lord, You accept us back. Lord, thank You for that. Thank You for Your forgiveness and thank You for Your grace. Lord, I pray You touch this audience today, God. First one here. Lord, maybe there's somebody that's been looking for a good church home. God, I pray they found one here. And Lord, if not, God, we want Your will for their life. But Lord, I pray, God, that You would bless. I pray that You bring people home that have wandered away from You. Lord, we ask Your blessings now in Jesus' name.